First, the term food desert became a hot-button topic and talk about equal access to fresh, healthy foods. A food desert is an area, often urban or rural, where accessing healthy, fresh food options is difficult. But according to new research, the bigger problem might be food swamps, places with too many unhealthy food options. Olga Kazan is a staff writer at The Atlantic covering gender, health, and science. Welcome back to Central Time, Olga.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, this idea of food deserts as a health hazard, the idea was, okay, people don't have access to healthy food, and that is leading to a rise in obesity. There have been studies on this. What are people finding out?
Yeah, so it's basically kind of a mixed relationship. Some studies show that, yes, living far from a grocery store is associated with obesity. Other studies, say they put a grocery store into a community and looked at what happened, and basically people's weight or their health didn't really change at all. So we can't necessarily say, oh, yes, food deserts are the cause of obesity. If only we fixed that, people would be less obese. So that's kind of where the complication comes from.
Obesity is just one marker of health. Is it possible that, okay, people are not losing weight with that grocery store nearby, but they're eating more fruits and veggies, which is going to be a good thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the studies on food swamps have shown that people's dietary habits change, but some of them actually showed that they didn't buy more fruits and veggies either. And of course, weight loss takes a really long time and is not always feasible for people. So you can't necessarily say that just because someone didn't lose weight, in the two-month study period or whatever, that it didn't work.
Now, you wrote about this idea, this phrase that was, I got to admit, new to me. I'd heard of food deserts. I had not heard of this idea of food swamps. What do we mean by that?
So food swamps is sort of this new term that researchers are looking at to see, okay, in addition to there not being enough grocery stores in an area, could it be that having too many fast food places and kind of convenience stores and other places that don't sell fresh produce or really any kind of healthy food, could that be contributing to the problems of obesity in some of these communities? So what this recent study that came out in November found is that actually over and above not having a grocery store in your environment, what's really kind of problematic and what can lead to obesity is living in a food swamp where, let's say, you do have food choices, you do have food options in your neighborhood, but they're all really bad for you. It's all, kind of fast food places or the corner store where you can buy chips and soda. So that's where the food swamps come from, and so people now think that that might be kind of a stronger predictor of obesity rates.
And then how do we start to measure what kind of impact that has on obesity, this ratio, this high ratio of unhealthy food options to healthy stuff?
Yeah, well, so this one study kind of went and counted up all the fast food restaurants and grocery and convenience stores and compared it to the number of grocery stores and supermarkets. And then there was like another study that was done a few years ago that looked at just the number of supermarkets nearby versus just the number of fast food places nearby. So there definitely needs to be more research on this and kind of more examination of how exactly it affects people. But essentially, it's unfortunately like everything in nutrition, a really long process.
And this is a food story. This is also a transportation story. You write in your piece that another wrinkle in this is this a neighborhood where maybe people don't own a lot of cars and have limited public transportation options? So the stuff in their neighborhood is the stuff they have to eat.
Right, exactly. So the relationship between the food swamps and obesity is stronger when people don't have cars and there's not good public transportation in the area. Some of the reasons why the food desert research didn't show an impact on obesity is because sometimes, you can just hop in your car and, say, drive 20 minutes. It's not always convenient, but you can get to the big supermarket and load up your car kind of for the week, and then you have it. But if you don't have that car, if you can't really make those big, shopping trips and get everything you need, then you are reliant on the convenience store around the corner, which is not going to have, lettuce and tomatoes. It's going to have, chips and soda.
Olga Kazan is with us from The Atlantic talking about this idea of food swamps as a possible driver of obesity in American neighborhoods. That's places where there's lots of access to fast food, convenience foods, not so much to the healthy stuff, the fresh produce. Olga, suppose this checks out and we find, okay, yeah, these food swamps, that is a big deal. That's a big part of the problem. What do we do with that? How can we change that setting?
Yeah, so it's really difficult. It's really hard to get fast food restaurants that are open to shut down. That's like part of kind of business and capitalism, is that you can't just make businesses close. You could try zoning where you, in a certain city or community, you could make it so that it's hard for these so-called formula restaurants to open. These are like, you know, chain restaurants, essentially. And so a few kind of cities, I think in California, have looked at this or and possibly even done it. But actually, the zoning can sometimes backfire. Los Angeles tried to ban new fast food restaurants in a low-income part of the city in 2008, but it didn't actually decrease obesity rates at all. So zoning doesn't necessarily always work in order to fix these food swamps.
Now, a personal observation, I don't think you mentioned this in the piece, but I have seen around Wisconsin, in urban and rural areas, places where the convenience stores or drug stores or other places have some fresh fruit and some veggies. Is that a thought, maybe, that if we can get these or fast food restaurants have salads now, for that matter, that, okay, if we can work with these places that sell unhealthy stuff to get more healthy options in the places that already exist?
Yeah, and that's one thing that a lot of cities are looking at, is trying to get, and not just looking at, a lot of cities are doing this now. I know D.C. is, I'm not sure how many others are, but they will, there's actually, you know, initiatives at the local level to get more fresh produce into corner stores and convenience stores, because it is so hard to attract a whole new, you know, supermarket into an area, especially if there's very little space in that area, and there's not a lot of income coming into that area. So, yeah, that is definitely, is just how do we get the you know, the good stuff into the places that are already there, is something people are looking at. It just takes a long time to roll that out on a national scale, and also a really long time to change people's behavior so that they start, you know, looking at the little produce corner of the corner store instead of the chips aisle.
And on a wider note, I mean, this is kind of a different way of thinking about obesity. I think in our daily lives, we think about it as the personal choice I make about what to eat and the exercise to get. This is looking at it in a public health way and also a community and city planning way.
Yeah, this is definitely, I mean, I think what people are realizing, at least at the public health level, is that, you know, it would be kind of a stretch to attribute all of obesity to personal choices. The obesity epidemic is now so widespread, and it has grown so rapidly, that I think we have to start looking at our built environment and our food environment that could be contributing to it. Because even if you have the personal choice, and let's say you can ride the bus for an hour, and you can get to that supermarket, and you can buy the vegetables, but then you have to go home and cook them, and you might have, you know, not have the time, you might not have the money. You have to look at, like, how you're being nudged into making less healthy choices.
And do we see, I mean, you mentioned that attempt in LA to solve the problem by zoning that didn't pan out. Are you seeing other local or state efforts to do something, whatever that something might be?
Yeah, I mean, so California, like I mentioned, has done some of these bans, and they were, I don't know if they studied obesity rates in those areas, but some cities are considering taxing soda, seeing soda as kind of, you know, the most problematic of these junk foods that are on offer in food swamps. They actually kind of drive up the price of it so that, almost like cigarettes, people will be less tempted to buy it. There's a lot of different kind of ideas out there that people are experimenting with. So we unfortunately just need a lot more time and research to figure out what exactly is going to work.
A lot of what we've been talking about applies to urban areas, but people have pointed toward rural deserts, food deserts in rural areas too, as maybe that grocery store in the small town closes, you've got to go two towns over to find a large store, you're down to that gas station convenience store. Are people paying attention to this in rural America?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think definitely, and I've reported in some rural places that definitely qualify as food swamps and food deserts. I think maybe one difference in some of those areas is that people might have cars, because they rely on cars every day to get, you know, wherever they work. Absolutely, this is an issue that affects, you know, both cities and rural areas.
And Olga, big picture again, I mean, we've seen the obesity rates go up in America. Are you seeing any signs that we're plateauing or turning the trend around?
No, not that I've seen. I think they're pretty much still still pretty bad and still going up, and actually is might be part of the explanation for why American life expectancy has started to go down as well.
We'll leave it there for now. Olga, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We're talking to Olga Hazan. She's a staff writer at The Atlantic. She joined us today to talk about this idea of food swamps, areas often in urban and in rural America where there's more junk food, more unhealthy food available than healthy food. Love to hear from you about this. You can email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Is this what's going on where you live? Do you wish you had more healthy food options where you are? Or has something changed maybe for the better? A new store opened up that gives you more access to fruits and vegetables where you are. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Coming up in a speech yesterday, President Trump talked about his goals for rural America. We'll talk about what rural parts of our nation and Wisconsin need to help strengthen rural economies. By the way, you can download the Wisconsin Public Radio app to bring these discussions with you wherever you go. Listen on your phone or tablet or whatever device you're carrying these days. Go to whichever version of the app obtaining website you get, Google Play or the App Store, and download the WPR app and follow us and let us follow you everywhere. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.